Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci, and I'm on the grid. Hour two begins, and now as we throw it down with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. We've got a lot of cool stories to hit here in the second hour of the program. A couple of funny stories and a couple of bizarro world stories as well. But one thing that people are having a lot of fun with on Twitter over the last couple of days are 2020 plans. You know, what you know, you thought 2020 was going to be and what 2020 is turning out to be. And shout out to our boy, Jesse. What up, Jesse? I'm glad you're staying safe right now. He's got Cam's plans. Nevada better wins 25K on $100 10-team ping pong parlay. Or 2020, Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson win at Seminole as pro golf returns with charity skins event.
You know what I love about our listeners, God, they know how to kick you while you're down, but they're good guys. It's all in good fun. But
no, they're laughing with you. They're not. Yes, laughing at you.
I would like the money.
Almost all of them had the same pick, it seems. Yeah. We just seem to like not be able to get over it.
Yeah, exactly. We can't get over it. No.
Warren Moon. I asked Warren Moon once. I've had Warren Moon on the show a lot over the years, but I was talking to Warren Moon. I was in a bad mood, Cam. It was like on a Tuesday, and it was about NFL.
Yeah.
I was crying about the Monday nighter. Why'd they do this, Warren? And hug him there. And I asked him, I said, how long did you stay mad after a loss on Sunday? And he said, until Tuesday.
Exactly.
He said, by Wednesday, you got to let it go.
Yeah.
He said, Wednesday, you got to move on and prepare for the next team. Because he was talking about how Monday's the day after the game, so you're still pissed off. And then Tuesday's an off day, so you're still upset. And he goes, Wednesday, you got to move forward to, like, the next game and stuff. So
the moral of the story is I got to let it go.
And I couldn't resist. I said, so how long did it take you to get over that Buffalo Bills game? Ooh. And I've had him on enough that I could go down that road.
Yeah. Yeah.
He goes, I'm still not over that game.
Exactly.
I think he goes, it'll be a lot of Wednesdays. He said something like that. Because I always bring up, hey, Warren, I'm a Bills fan, right? Yeah. And I set the stage for him. But I thought that tweet was great from Jesse. Jesse's great with the Photoshop and the tweets. So this is an interesting story, actually, that's just sort of developing over the last 24 hours, give or take or so. But, of course, the XFL went bankrupt, and it looks like they have a savior, Cam, that's going to save them from bankruptcy and put the league back together, and his name is Vincent K. McMahon. I didn't think they were shutting it down, bro. It was a success. The XFL was doing well, and he was pretty quick to shut it down. And I'm thinking, he went through all this trouble. He was playing the game like his buddy Donald Trump. No, we'll shut this down. They refunded all the fans. They screwed the creditors, and they're just going to rebuild. I don't even know how you do this, how he rebuys the league again. But word on the street is it's a true story. And, in fact, they're already telling stadiums that they played in last year, yeah, we're coming back.
Like the following year.
Next year. Obviously. Oh, yeah, they're not coming back now. Yeah, it's not like, oh, they're going to finish their season. Yeah. Can you imagine if they're America needs the XFL championship? We were halfway through the season. We need to do this.
You're right, though. That's kind of a real businessman savvy move. These guys, they know every trick in the book. Buy it while it's cheap.
They paid the players, though. Yeah, that's the whole thing. He didn't screw people on the way out. All right, hold on. We're going to welcome the radio crowd in here. What's kicking? Game Time Decisions Radio Edition continues. Hour two. Shout out to everybody tuning in right now, wherever you are listening, whatever city, town, affiliate, station you are tuning in on right now or watching us, Pluto, Zumo, Stir. Stir's our only channel. Doesn't sound like a planet. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're throwing down with a raging Reddit. Cam Stewart, going to talk. We've got a couple of interesting stories here. Something that I wanted to get to earlier in the week, actually, but I guess it was fitting that we only get to it now because there's a follow-up to this. Great, great stuff in Korea, of course. Their baseball is back. And, you know, we know in Taiwan they put mannequin fans in the stands.
Yes.
Korea is a bit more serious. Korea is a serious baseball league. It's not quite the same. You know, it's not as loose as the Taiwanese league is. So the powers that be in Korea were not very happy when FC Seoul got hit. They're getting hit with a massive fine, $82,000, for putting sex dolls in the stands as fans.
I got to be honest with you. I saw the picture. All the sex dolls look the same. They don't really differ from anything. It's almost like the same chick.
I got to be honest too. I don't really understand.
They're not even that sex. They look like just.
What's offensive about it? They're just mannequins.
That's what
I'm saying. How do you know they're sex dolls unless you're hanging with a sex doll? It's fans with hair. They're chicks with hair.
That's exactly it. They were in regular clothes. They know.
They had masks on.
Yeah, and it's not like their breasts were hanging out that says a tattoo. I'm a sex doll.
Yeah, it's not like they had like a chick like bent over and like over the rail and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Oh, yeah. The chick in section 310.
That's right. Yeah. I love FC Seoul.
Yeah, they seem to be overreacting a little bit here.
I agree with you. When I saw that story, I go, these are not sex dolls, they're mannequins. And as a lawyer, I think we could win this case very easily. They don't look anything like sex dolls. And you're right, they're dressed up, they're wearing masks. Like, there is nothing about those ladies that says sex dolls.
I'm sorry.
I'm not offended at all.
The club had 20 dolls, some of which were dressed in the team's colors. Other held placards supporting the team.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
I agree with you 100%.
Well, I don't understand. How do you even know they're sex dolls? They're mannequins.
Yeah, I agree, Gabe. There was no... I don't even want to get into it. I don't want to get in trouble, but
yeah,
you know where I'm going from. There was no skin. There was no stuff. So let's just call it out for what it is. Yes, they were mannequin fans.
And there's another really weird story that we got to get to on the other side of this about an alleged sexual harassment that went on an airplane between two NFL players and flight attendants.
Yeah.
Except the flight attendants are the ones being accused of doing the harassing.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Game Time Decisions continues. I am Gabe Morenci. We're throwing it down with a raging redhead, Cam Stewart. Check us out weekdays at 6 on SB Nation Radio. And, of course, at SportsGrid, SportsGrid.com, Pluto TV, Zumo TV, Stir TV, and a million other platforms and mediums. So we teased you with an interesting story about it's developing right now in a lawsuit. An active NFL player says he was sexually harassed and assaulted during a United Airlines flight. And it's like, whoa, what's this? How'd you get in the building? So an unnamed NFL player is suing. And of course, and our boy Puccio will get a laugh out of this. I'm telling you, Ken, you know, like anytime something really crazy happens in America, you're like, all right, that's Florida, right? Yep. You can sort of guess what state it is. Yep. I'm telling you, any weird airport story and strange something happening, something really bizarre, like, wow, Newark. I'm telling you, Newark International Airport is a hotspot for strangeness, okay? So an unnamed NFL player is suing United Airlines, alleging he was sexually harassed, assaulted, and violated by a female passenger on a February flight from Los Angeles to Newark. And that the airline failed to properly respond to complaints. The civil suit filed. All right, I was under the impression that a flight attendant was harassing it.
Yeah.
But he's saying the flight attendants didn't stop a woman from harassing
it. Oh, okay, I see, yes.
Yeah, so he says in a civil suit filed in Los Angeles Superior Court, speaks unspecified punitive damages from the airline for allowing it to happen. According to the lawsuit, the player and another passenger in the same row made four complaints to flight attendants that the woman was making unwanted sexual advances before she was moved to a different seat. The two men are suing United lawsuit because the airline refused to give them the name of the woman. A flight attendants and potential witnesses did not cooperate with the complaint when they landed after. According to the lawsuit, the men alerted flight attendants that there was a woman being disruptive and belligerent and appeared to be intoxicated. They notified the flight attendants again when a woman made sexual advances. Oh, no. made sexual advances toward the NFL player, massaging his knees and thighs. More than an hour into the flight, the woman's advances intensified as she allegedly grabbed and groped his jockstrap area. Jockstrap area.
The jewels, yeah.
Jockstrap. Family program, right?
Yeah, that's right, jockstrap.
Yeah, says that the flight attendants did nothing.
Wow.
Said the woman moved, but she kept on harassing them, and the flight attendants didn't stop. They thought it was funny at first. I'm telling you right now, and let's just cut right to the chase, Ken.
This lawsuit's going nowhere.
The woman that did this wasn't hot.
Yeah.
I'm just going to cut right to the chase.
No. You're right.
I'm just gonna cut to the chase. If there's some super hot chick and she's drunk and she's caressing your leg on a plane, 72% of men are gonna be, you know, probably in the Mile High Club in the bathroom. Or
have to say a higher percentile.
Yeah.
72%, sorry.
Higher percentile. Well, some people are happily married.
Yeah,
some people are gonna be like, or even, hey, listen, I'm flattered, baby. You know what I mean? But, I can't. You know, I'm going to chill out.
I got the miss.
The fact that he was, like, offended and complaining. You're an NFL player, too. What do you mean you got assaulted?
Yeah.
How can a woman sexually assault you? You're a grown man on a plane.
That's a great point. Yeah.
I know we're going down a road. Oh, there's, you know, it goes both. I get it. I don't want to be a jerk, but I'm just being real.
Yeah.
I'm just telling everyone tuning in right now that this chick was not hot. Because if she was hot, there's no way in hell people would be complaining about a hot chick groping people.
Yeah, no, you bring up excellent points. No, it's an interesting thing. Who's that guy, big, muscular guy? He's one of the most... Terry Crews. Didn't he get some... I think he had something going on with some girl, like she was assaulting me or, like, touching me and stuff like that. I guess it works both ways, like, you know what I mean? But I'm with you.
Let's be real.
Yeah, if the girl is beautiful, they're probably rolling with the punches.
Let's be real, and I don't know if this is politically incorrect or correct or whatever, but I'm just being real here. It almost upsets me when I see all these stories of these hot teachers having sex with students.
Yeah, I know. It's a dream of mine that when
it's almost like, I know, like, you know, people are like, oh, you guys can't say like, whatever. I was in school, none of my teachers were hot. Not one of them. I never had one hot teacher in my life.
I had one really hot teacher. You know what she actually ended up doing? Banging a student and marrying him afterwards.
Well, there you go.
That's fact.
it was true love after all.
Yeah, you're right, though. Most were not the kind you want to sleep with.
Like, I'm telling you, like out of all my teachers, I do not remember. Like, I remember there was, like, one woman, like, in grade 5 or 6. You know, I think she was all right, and I think the gym teacher was doing her.
It actually happens that way.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, she was like the one, she's sort of a MILF type teacher. Like, but I don't know, I was in grade 5. Maybe she wasn't hot. I don't know, I mean, it was so long ago. It's funny, like, I don't even remember my teachers all that well. I remember one dude, you know, was a great teacher. He was drunk all the time.
Gave
you a beat no matter what you did.
No, that's the thing. Like, now that we're older, I'm like starting to see some of the teacher's behavior. I'm like, you know, we always thought he's a little bit weird. Like, this guy's definitely on drugs. He's going out for, like, the 4-martini lunch. You could tell all these things that are happening.
Well, like Dominic Cruz said about the UFC referee. Yeah, he was drunk. I smelled alcohol and tobacco.
The thing was, nobody else complained about it. So that's where that story is going. And this lawsuit, I got to believe, is going nowhere.
You know, the referee, Keith Patterson, had a lot of fun with it, though, actually. he was reffing the next card after.
That's right. That's right.
He actually tweeted in between fights once, time for a smoke.
That's great.
Yeah. Had some fun with it. Quick UFC news, actually. Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan moving to a Spotify, getting $100 million, man.
Oh, my God.
Wow. I remember when he was just a bit guy on that news radio show.
Yeah, yes. News radio with Phil Hartman. And
very good show. Phil Hartman was the best on that show.
Phil, it's actually, I watched a documentary on Phil Hartman. Crazy,
it's
crazy.
It's actually pretty realistic about how radio is, too. Like, it actually, WKRP is like the radio show of all radio shows. But news radio is pretty accurate, actually.
It was very good, very well done.
Like, for a normal news station type place.
News guys are a bit of a jerk, you know, everybody else. You got the spaz kid in there. That's Andy Dick. You got other people. It's funny, Gabe, Phil Hartman, you know where he's born? You know where he's born?
Stratford, Ontario?
Wayne Gretzky, Brantford, Ontario.
I was pretty close.
Yeah, hey, anything with Stratford, Brantford, yeah, like you almost get the – is that nuts?
Yeah, he's from the same town as Wayne Gretzky, isn't it?
Yes.
Pretty crazy that you're from a little town. And you're as big as Phil Hartman was, and you're not even, like, close to being the most famous person from that town.
Yeah, it was a crazy documentary, too. Like, the way they ended it on Saturday Night Live, it was him and Chris Farley. Both of them passed away really quickly. There was a lot of, like, weird parallels.
Phil Hartman got shot by his wife.
Oh, yeah, his wife was absolutely insane. Like, yeah. It was crazy, man. Crazy.
He was a funny guy. Of course, he's Lionel Hutz.
Yeah, he's the voice. Yeah, notice that after the Simpsons.
Troy McClure. Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You might remember me from such films as.
Yeah. Octopus. Yeah, he's got eight arms.
Troy McClure. He had the fish problem, right?
Yeah, he was addicted.
Ever since the fish incident. Right? Yeah.
That's right. He married Selma, but he really loved.
Yeah, he had a sexual fish incident. Did it ever reference? No one knows. It's like, what do you mean? Yeah. Ever since that incident with the fish, you know. It's too good. No, Troy McClure.
They give him a lot of credit, too. Like, that character, after those episodes, nobody else could play those guys. If you they're not on the show in the newer seasons.
So we're bouncing around a little bit. So, yeah, Joe Rogan gets $100 million. John Jones not going to get $100 million, but John Jones looking for a big payday right now. John Jones has left so much money on the table over the years. He's not getting any younger. And he's the greatest fighter ever, but he's coming closer to losing and stuff.
Exactly.
And he needs money. He wants to make money. And he's run, you know, he runs the table through the weight class. He's been doing it for years. And he's kind of bored almost, needs that challenge. Plus, he wants a big payday. He's willing to fight Francis Ngannou.
That's a bad decision on
going up to heavyweight to fight Francis Ngannou. And he's thrown it out there before, all fight anyone at heavyweight, but he's never backed it up. He put his name on it. He tweeted at Ngannou and at the UFC, send me the papers. He said, let's make a deal. He said, send me the deal. I'll do this. And he even said, I'm looking for a big payday right about right now. But you're also, you could get a big punch in the face. But we'll hit this on the other side. Game Time Decisions continues. NFL suspension, though.
Yeah, I think the minimum now is 3 games. If you look at the new collective bargaining agreement, but you know, you take a look at the most recent case, and Chris Herndon in the Jets was suspended 4 games, had some property damage, there was an accident, but it happened in June of 2018, and the suspension wasn't levied until the first 4 games of 2019. So I don't know if this is going to be very, immediate. I think this could be something that, you know, gets forced down the line, but yeah, it's going to hurt them. But hey, like you said, the Bills have made a lot of moves, and a lot of those moves have been on the defensive line. The depth on that defensive line is unbelievable at all, like 3 or 4 positions on that defensive line. So I think they'll be all right to kind of figure things out in the interim.
Yeah, that's right. They're including their second round. Their second round pick? I guess it was their first pick at the time, right? With AJ. Yeah, their second round, but with their first pick, stalking the defensive line. And listen, sometimes, look, we all make mistakes, right? I mean, everybody makes mistakes in their lives. I made mistakes at Buffalo Bills games, all right? I've been in that cell in the stadium. I'm not proud to admit, but it's true. So, you know, we've all made lapses in judgment, and I was older than Ed Oliver was at the time as well. It wasn't my fault. I was set up, but that's another story. And it was harmless, like, just for the record. Put it this way, dude, you know the bathroom lines there and stuff. I basically went to the bathroom somewhere I shouldn't have.
Gotcha.
I took a leak against this tree, and they literally had like a stain going on, bro. Like basically it was like this little hill, and I turned around. I was like, ding, right away. And they got like 40 of us. It was basically like, it was kind of like the drunk guy's first place to go. Like, oh, I got, where am I going to go? So anyways, we've all made mistakes. You know, for the Buffalo Bills, as I talked about earlier, you know, we are front runners right now. There are expectations of us right now, and we have to live up to those expectations and not get into trouble and be focused on football. And what do you think about this, Matt? I've noticed football players, and I took something that you said about while we're in this pandemic and everyone's handling it in a different way right now, seems like football players are sort of the most flippant about this. You know, Dak Prescott and his party, football players working out together all the time. Fine, you want to throw a football, but you're arm in arm. And, you know, they're almost defiant about it. And it's interesting to me because they're, as athletes, are more vulnerable to this than baseball players are. You know, you think it's a good thing. How good is it for these linemen to be playing in this in a situation like this? From players you talked about, are any players actually worried about their safety? Game Time Decisions continues. Get on the grid. I am Gabriel Renzi, throwing it down with a raging redhead, Cam Stewart. We were just talking about John Jones going into the last break. I want to continue the conversation a little bit, potentially fighting against Francis Ngannou, who we just saw nearly murder somebody last week. Jairzinho, I think, is still passed out right now. Imagine how that guy's head must hurt.
Yeah.
After getting, like, clipped, like, first with, like, a left cross. And then, boom, he took like 6-7 just sort of right on the side of the skull before they stopped it for whatever reason. A lot of slow stoppages in Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's a great call. Lots of slow stoppages, lots of blood. Yeah, it was like the Vampire Diaries.
That's why we got screwed in the Walt Harris fight, Ken, because a lot of refs would have stopped it. He was chilling over him.
Yeah, no, don't worry, Gabe. Whatever we have, if something good was going to happen, no, we'll just lose. That's just the way it goes. Anyway, I'm going to say this. Be careful what you wish for. Ngannou's a killer. And John Jones, as you said, I see the regression there. And I'll tell you something, if he gets clipped, he's not going to wake up. I know you want to get a paycheck, but that's a guy I'd be very, very, very careful who you want to fight, because that guy, he can end it real quick. He's scary.
Thing is, John Jones is a better fighter.
Yes,
than
he is.
Right?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yep.
He's more agile. He's more well-rounded. He's smarter. The only thing is, Jones is in... Like, he's done. Like, as you stated, there's no, I don't care if you're John Jones. You're not a natural heavyweight. And Francis Ngannou literally could put his fist through a brick wall.
Yes, like, he can.
He set the Guinness Book of World Records, guys. Like, the strongest punch ever recorded. Mm-hmm. The guy is like a menace to society. Like, dude, like, he swung 4 times at Jairzinho and he missed. Like, he tried, dude, he did this like overhand type thing that really probably would have killed him. Like, he swings, and it's the thing that people talk about, though, Cam. Ngannou swings wildly still. You know,
he does.
It's not that compact. It's getting better, but he's nowhere near as refined as John Jones is. But if John Jones gets hit, he's going to sleep. Like, he will not be able to not get knocked down by that.
That is exactly my point. Jones could do a lot of things, and that's the thing. He's a smarter fighter. He's been around the game. He knows every trick in the book. But, Gabe, you know it. Once you get into the octagon, if you get clipped, that's the last guy that you want to get clipped from, because his face will be spaghetti. It'll be over, man, because that guy hits. He is so tough.
It's getting real right now. John Jones is beginning the smack talk.
Yeah, here
There's going to be no turning back now. John Jones says, you ain't scaring anybody. I'll expose you. Alistair Overeem, old Reem. Reem's excited for the fight.
Exactly.
Reem said, ooh, this will be a mega fight. Alistair Overeem, who does Overeem think is going to win? John Jones, Francis Ngannou have been beefing on social media. Overeem tells Ariel Helwani, I've been seeing that online. I love the idea from two of them. I love it. I think I definitely think John can beat him.
Interesting.
So I know what the odds are, Cam. I know what the odds are. I don't believe you do know what the odds are.
No, I don't. I have no clue. Can I guess?
Who do you want to take, and what are you looking at? Like,
I want to take Ngannou. I'm so sick of John Jones ripping everybody all the time. Like, it's getting really annoying. John Jones will be minus 220.
I think the line is going to surprise you, buddy.
What is it?
Francis Ngannou, minus 150.
Are you kidding me?
John Jones is a plus 130 favorite. I spoke to somebody behind the scenes that's pretty big in this industry, and they told me that the second that this becomes real, they're going to hammer John Jones. They think John Jones. They think
this is the underdog?
John Jones is plus 130. I heard from someone in the betting business, basically, in MMA, that this is the worst line in the history of lines, basically.
What would you have made the line? Jones should be minus even 160, 180?
I don't know, man. It's so tough, right? He's going up to heavyweight.
I don't know, man.
I would have made John Jones. I would have made John Jones. Yeah, minus
150.
Minus 130. Minus 150.
Yeah, okay. So slight favorite.
But if you made John Jones minus ones, I was just thinking from the odds. I'm not like guys tuning in right now. I'm thinking as an odds maker. I'm not thinking what I think, right?
Yeah.
But if they posted, either way, it's weird. They're going to get hit either way hard on this, Ken. If they make John Jones minus 175, 200 favorite, people will be running to the window to take the heavyweight Ngannou. Give me Ngannou at plus 150. You make Ngannou the big favorite, people are going to be like, oh, my God, I'm getting John Jones as an underdog.
Yes.
Right? And they're going to run to the window. They've got to find that right number to get people to want to bet both sides of this. I think at this number, so you say Ngannou right now, but is that with your heart? Because you want to see John Jones get clipped?
It's with my heart, yeah. And even though we met him before, Gabe, and you had him as your guest in Montreal, a lot of things have changed from them. Like, Jones has just, you know, become a guy that's always kicking people while they're down, like the Anthony Smith thing. It's just,
well, he's a jerk.
Karma's interesting, man, and it'll bite you in a weird way. And this is a fight, sure. Jones, you said it. If you look at all the categories, he has the edge, except for power. And one thing is, though, in a fight, Jones going up to that weight and taking a clean shot from him, that'll be the end of him. It's all about Ngannou connecting, and if he does, the party's over. It's very simple. Jones won't be able to take that punishment.
Ngannou fired off a tweet to John Jones of a picture of him. Kind of looking like it's like an action shot. He's looking kind of like, let's go type thing. John Jones says, first, you can save the rest of your tongue pictures for your other homies. And yes, I'm still here. Just waking up from watching that Derrick Lewis fight again. You ain't scaring nobody. I saw your heart. You're a big mouse. I'll expose you.
Okay. Wow. A big mouse.
A big mouse. And Ngannou's bringing it. Ngannou's like, yeah, I've watched some tapes too. And he's got tapes of John Jones getting cracked by people.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, the UFC needs this fight.
They do.
We need something that doesn't involve Conor McGregor and his stupidity. You know what I mean? Like, and I hate the fake smack talk, and Conor will run his mouth and call people terrorists and stuff. And then when he's getting his ass handed to him in the cage, oh, it's just business, man. Why are you being so personal about it? This is real.
Yeah.
Like, John Jones is not a likable guy. And Ngannou is not the type of guy that's going to get smack talked by anybody, Cam.
I agree.
And like, if you're Ngannou, yeah, I've lost before, but I'm not going to, like, I will murder you. Like, I will just murder you if I punch you. So I think Ngannou will take his chance. And I'll tell you, Jones has more to lose here. Because, yeah, Ngannou will get mocked a bit if he loses, but not really. John Jones, the greatest fighter of all time. But the thing is, John Jones can't physically hurt Ngannou in the same way that Jones could get really hurt.
Yes.
Like, if Ngannou cracked him 3-4 times, Jones, you're in a lot of trouble, bro.
Jones is probably going to have to win by some form of submission. Let's remember this, too, Gabe. Years and years and years ago, we went to the UFC event in Toronto with Lisa for her birthday, and it was Gustafson who fought Jones. Jones could have lost that fight, and that was years and years and years ago that I remember. Gustafson and him, they basically both killed each other. A classic, classic fight. Think about how long ago that was, how many close calls he's had from them. I'm telling you, man, you talk about it. Age waits for no one. He's slipping a bit. This is a very, very difficult opponent, man. Very difficult opponent.
I'd be very excited for this fight. Looking like it really would be a mega fight.
I agree.
Yeah, because you know what makes a mega fight is two big names. John Jones, a bigger name than Ngannou, but Ngannou's knocked out his last four opponents in like, you know, less than 3 minutes type of deal, whatever the hell it is. He's destroying people again. He's on a run since he fought for the belt and lost. Listen, he lost two fights in a row. He did. So he lost to Derek Lewis. That's why Ngannou's, that's what Jones was talking about. He fought Miocic for the title. He wasn't quite ready for a title run, Ngannou. He got thrown in there. He's a little bit more well-rounded now, but like I said, John Jones a better fighter.
Yes.
The question is, we saw with OSP. OSP weighed 205, Cam. He went up to 240.
Yeah.
He was very stiff. Like, he was moving slow. He wasn't himself.
He looked winded. Like, early in the fight, he's kind of like lingering, and Rothwell's kind of he came to life at the end of the fight, but it was too late. That's the thing. Yeah, OSP, I'll tell you, no, it's tough, Gabe. You know what it's like, man. When you put on weight like that, when you're a bigger man, things are a lot harder to do, and you will lose some quickness. You will lose some of that stuff. So it's not that easy if he wants to move up. I'll be betting on Ngannou. It's not just a heart play. I think Jones will lose this fight.
So John Jones is 6'4", cuts weight down to make 205, probably weighs about 225 or so, I would say, in real life. You know, 225, in between 222 and 227 or whatever. Yeah. And would probably bulk up in the same way that OSP ended up at, right? About 240 with the muscle and everything. Mm-hmm. It's always dangerous, though, if you fight for the first time. Listen, we had Gamblu on our podcast, and Gamblu at Gamblu.com, great MMA handicapper. And he brought up a good point. He said that if John Jones just goes up to heavyweight and fights Ngannou without a fight first, he'll get killed.
Yeah.
If he goes up to heavyweight, fights somebody and stays it, you know what I mean? Builds his body up. You know what I mean? You can't just sort of lift weights, Cam, and get stronger.
I agree.
You'll look stronger, but you're not going to be thick stronger. Like, you're thicker than me. Like, I can lift weights, but you're thicker. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Like the muscle won't put you through. I remember, who said that? Brock Lesnar said that to Frank Mir. Because I remember Mir got pushed around a little bit once, and Mir hit the gym, and he came back. And Brock was like, you wasted your time, bro. He said, just because you lifted the weights, you're still not as strong as me. Exactly. And Mir said, well, I am, because I lift. That's how it works. He goes, nah, you're not naturally thick like I am. And Lesnar was right about that. You can't just lift weights to get big and strong.
No, you can't. No, you can't. And I agree with Gamblu wholeheartedly. Going up to that weight and not knowing these things, and that's not the guy you want to fight when you do something like that. I agree. So maybe he will.
You know what Ngannou is, Cam?
What?
6'5", 261 pounds.
Thank you. And he's been.
And he ain't Roy Nelson, bro. This guy's ripped.
That's what I'm saying. He's been working at that weight for a while too. Like, that's the thing. Like, he's used to his poundage. It's a big difference, man. Big difference. I'll bet. Man, bet Ngannou.
That really would be a mega, 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 mega fight. Gaethje and Khabib could be coming up, actually, in September.
Khabib's got to worry about his dad.
Horrible news. Coronavirus looks like it's going to claim Khabib's father in medically induced coma right now. Our thoughts with Khabib's family in this difficult time. Game time to continue.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game time decision continues. I am Gabriel Brenson. We're throwing it down with a raging redhead, Cam Stewart. We were just talking about Michael Jordan not being the nicest guy. And sometimes you got to be careful what you wish for and you meet somebody you look up to, and they might not be the person that you want. Now, that movie with Patton Oswalt, Scotty Farrell is actually the talk show host.
That's right. Was it The Fan? Or
the Big Fan.
Yeah, that movie.
Big Fan.
Great movie.
Oh, awesome movie where he's a diehard New York Giant fan. The guy lives for the New York Giants, and he's out one night and he sees like the Lawrence Taylor of the Giants. It's sort of like the star linebacker, but he's doing rails, and he follows him to a strip club. All right. So he's like, oh my God, they're the players. So he goes to a strip club and he sits there and he's watching them and stuff, and they're partying and he's in awe. Right. He's not a stalker. He's just like this massive fan. So he's just happy to be in the same strip club with the New York Giants. And he thinks it's great. And he goes up to their table. Biggest mistake of his life.
Oh, big time. Yep.
And he goes up, and Buddy looks up, and he's like, man, didn't I see you like a few miles? Like, he's like, you're following me. And he's like, no, I'm not following you. I'm a big fan. And within a minute or two, man, he gets the living snot kicked out of him. And the player gets suspended. And he ruins the Giants season.
Yeah, that's right.
He's like the biggest fan. Yet he gets... assaulted by a player. And, you know, I got to be honest, I've never really been fully heartbroken before by somebody that's an idol of mine. And I've met a lot of people, but I have been told F off by people that I've liked.
Me too.
But it didn't break my heart in a sense.
No, just you know disappointing. I mean?
Like, it didn't break my heart.
Like, whatever.
Like I said, I was a big Dodger fan. So I'll tell you, a lot of those Dodgers are jerks. Like, they are. Davey Lopes was the second baseman. He became the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers and stuff. He literally told me F off. F off's a big word for baseball players.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
these guys are such big phonies, though. Sammy Sosa was, like, the biggest phony. I remember I covered baseball in those days. Like, I was on the field in the batting cage and stuff. And Sosa would be, like, really, really, like, mean-looking and stuff. But the second a camera would come on, you'd go into his fake smile.
Yeah, that's back in Toronto. Joe Carter was known for that.
Joe Carter.
He hated everybody when the camera was on. Hey, everybody. Hey, kids.
Yeah. Joe Carter, like, refuses to do interviews at his own charity events. You know what I mean? And then you get the camera on him, and he's all smiles.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, A-Rod like that. Jeter, come on, man. Like, a lot of these guys are like that, but... I haven't had, like, a story. Like, you know what? I got into, I nearly got into a fight with the band Soundgarden once.
Wow.
Yeah. I got into a fight with the band Cinderella, too. But they're not idols of mine, so it's different. I've fought with a lot of famous people, actually. I've got quite a few stories like that. But I know someone who's, they look up to Reggie Jackson. And they met Reggie Jackson in like a restaurant bar. It wasn't like a bar nightclub, but it was sort of like a upscale bar restaurant type thing. And Jackson, like, wasn't eating dinner with his family or anything like that. Reggie Jackson was sort of like having a drink at the bar type of thing. And before Buddy could even get out, hey, Reggie, I'm a fan. Reggie had him, like, in a chokehold, Cam.
That's so sad. Oh, yeah, I told you the story about my girlfriend, too. My girlfriend, she gets lit up on the plane, and she's on a plane with Tito Ortiz. So she's like, hey, Tito, oh, Chuck. She goes, Chuck Liddell's going to kick your ass. The guy's like, what? Who the hell's this chick, right? He's getting all mad. He's like, oh, yeah, hey, how's your woman? Hey, she, good porno star? Like, she's just, like, losing. Like, he's like, he goes, get this woman. You either remove her from the plane or get her, like, away from my
sex. You just took the side of the NFL guys. So now I'm almost believing, like, these NFL guys are getting harassed on a plane for real.
I admit, I go, honey, like, did he start it with you? She goes, no, it was all me. Like, I was drunk and I was just stirring up crap with Tito Ortiz. He was freaking out. His entourage was laughing because, like, she's coming at this guy and he was losing it.
Best is, too, your girlfriend. Is your girlfriend getting along with Billy Smith.
Oh, yeah. Billy Smith.
New York Islander, legendary goalie, like one of the most dirty players in the history of the NHL. And it's funny because people and our boy Puccio said, oh, I'd like to see like a documentary series on like Wayne Gretzky. And I said, yeah, there's not much there, whatever. Talented kid. And when we go on, it's kind of a boring guy. But it's funny the perspective. If you live in Toronto and you go to the Gretzky, there's a bar called Gretzky's.
She lives across the street from
it. And when you're there, it's like, yeah, whatever, dude. We get it, Wayne. Like you're taking a leak. And it's unbelievable, Puccio. Like, you know, at the urinals, they have video and stuff. Yeah.
Story.
And you can't escape the audio.
Yeah.
So it's replaying. Gretzky scores.
It's on a loop. It's
Oilers
on a loop.
Win.
Yeah. Yeah, he beat the Islanders.
And leak. It's like, yeah, I get it. You won, bro.
You know every what I mean? It's story enough that they play. And I'll tell you, so
Puccio.
Yeah, I'll tell you the story. So my girlfriend's in there. She's getting wasted with a couple guys, right? A couple guys that she knows
and
from
Gretzky
work.
Gretzky never goes there either.
No, so he never like goes there. And then she walks out to the room and there's like a bunch of people and stuff. She goes, is anybody else in this damn place getting sick and tired of these weird Gretzky stories or whatever? Who in here's got a pair, right? And Billy said, he goes, I'm getting sick and tired of these stories. She goes, who the hell are you? You got some stones. He goes, my name's Billy Smith. She's like, who the hell's Billy Smith, right? So her friends are like, oh, he's the goaltender for the New York Islanders. Then I start to think, so they end up talking and stuff like that. But Gabe, the point that I wanted to make was, why was Billy Smith, a guy that hates Wayne Gretzky, partying in his restaurant? It was the best.
There's not a lot of places to go in that area.
I guess, but yeah.
Well, you know what? But Billy Smith actually beat Wayne Gretzky, too.
He did.
He has that on him. You know what? They're like the Islanders. Actually, you know, if you want to put it in that context of The Last Dance and everything, the Islanders were like the Pistons to the Oilers.
Yes.
Except they only beat them once. You know what I mean? But basically what happened, like the Islanders won 4 cups in a row, right?
Oilers.
So they won the, was it 5? No, it was 4. So they won the 4 in a row, and they beat the Islanders in a sweep.
Yep.
The Islanders beat the Oilers in a sweep. My uncle was on the team.
Nice. Yeah, he was on the Oilers.
Yeah, he was on the Oilers, my uncle. In the Stanley Cup Finals, they got swept. And then the Oilers went on to win 5 straight cups after, Cam. And my uncle got traded the midseason the next year.
What a... That's... Dude, the bad beats run in the family. He's going to get a...
He was on the team for like 3 years. He was on the Nordiques. He was on the Oilers when they came in the NHL.
Yeah.
He was there for the whole growing up with Gretzky until they won the cup. He got traded at like in February of the year they won the cup to the St. Louis Blues.
To the Blues? They were horrible back.
Yeah. Imagine like the luck of that? It's like, come on, man. Like, really? Like, I get traded like from this Stanley Cup, no parade, no. Get this, though. The Oilers, they always felt bad. They hooked him up. He became a strength and conditioning coach of the Cape Breton Oilers, which was their AHL team.
The American Hockey League team. But Gretzky is cool, Pucci. I will tell you one thing. He came out with this new whiskey, and my girlfriend was writing a story. So it's like all early in the morning, and then the LCBO, and Wayner's like, hey, everybody, I know I have a popular wine, and now I got a whiskey. He's like, hey, who wants to come up and try? And everyone, like all the media, they're just sitting there. My girlfriend's like, I'll come up with you, Wayner. She goes back to start with Wayner's like, yeah, cheers. Like, all the other media's, oh, they're drinking at 11 o'clock in the morning. She's like, shut up. Yeah. Like Connor. So, yeah, no, Wayner's a good guy, but no, he's really, I ran into his father all the time. Like, if you ever go to the restaurant, he's always having a cup of coffee. Walter Gretzky's the nicest man you'll ever meet.
Wayne Gretzky's a nice guy. Just for people, if you're wondering, like we were talking about Jordan being a jerk. I've never met Michael Jordan before, though.
Me neither.
I've never met Michael. I've never met LeBron.
No.
I've been around LeBron. Like, I've been close, like, where, oh, LeBron's right there type of thing. But he had people around him and stuff. And I chirped. I chirped him as a fan.
Yeah, hey, LeBron.
I did the old, F the Cavs. Yeah, outside the arena, camera. He had his entree. I was like, "Hey, LeBron, F the Cavs." I didn't say F you, LeBron, but I was like, "F the Cavs, go Raps!" Like,
go Raptors.
I'm not sucking up to him. So speaking of stars here, you know what we were talking about? That is Tom Brady. Yeah, actually, Tom Brady, not nice guy in real life as well.
Not nice guy,
even Patriot fans have told me. That that like they've been there, they see him with kids in practice and stuff. He just pretends he doesn't hear you. He doesn't interact with people. Like I don't know him personally. You know, his father's come on my show. And listen, I'm a Michigan fan, but you can tell, dude. Like even the father's the same way. They're like Jordan, very thin skinned. Anything you ever said about him is always gonna be remembered and stuff like that. But you're talking about Gretzky. At least Gretzky's just pimping wine and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't realize how deep Tom Brady was into the supplement scene.
Oh yeah.
He's almost got like a vitamin shop on like TB like supplements or something, Cam. Except it's not just one thing. Like he's venturing into sort of like infomercial sort of. Hey guys, how do I keep my skin clear like this? Yeah. I take these tablets.
It's kind of like
Romo. 12 tablets.
Romanowski and the fish oils.
Yeah, Romo's pimping stuff for money. Brady's actually making it and selling it. Wow. He's selling this stuff called Immunity right now, which is like it's kind of in bad taste. We're in the middle of a pandemic, so he's sort of assuming that you get immunity. Like I said, people are kind of raising their eyebrows here about this, Adam, wondering like, bro. You already made like over $200 million in your career.
Yeah.
Why are you pimping supplements like this?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, well, why are you pimping supplements like this? All right, there was a story I wanted to get to, actually. I saw it over at ESPN. David Perdum does a great job. Covering the gambling scene. And with nothing going on, people are like digging down deep and going into history here. And they had a story about the worst team in the history of the National Football League, ATS-wise. And it happens to be the worst team in the history of the National Football League, the 1976 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who went 0-14 straight up, Cam.
Yep.
2-10-2 against the spread. It actually covered twice.
Wow. The old ball coach was their quarterback, too, right?
Yeah. And great. Of course, John McKay, it's the famous line. They asked John McKay after the game, what did you think of the execution of the offense? He said, I'm all for it.
That's a great line. I remember when Tampa Bay and Seattle first came into the league, and I was like, Seattle fan, you knew the Bucs were going to suck. Like, it was the Hall of Fame game, and Seattle beat them like 42-0, like an expansion team against another. I was like, what the hell? Like, Tampa Bay was just.
Dude, I remember when I was a kid, man, it was like the biggest deal ever. The Bucs made the playoffs.
I know.
And it was pouring rain. Doug Williams was their quarterback.
Yep.
Like, that's it. I remember, like, I'm old enough to see that it was like, wow, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just won the Super Bowl. Like, I don't think people realize, like, how bad they were, what they came from.
Oh, it's so true.
Like, they were 0-1. Like, dude, they won. They actually lost an NFL record. I believe it was 26 games off the top of my head. Dude, they lost 14 games in 76. They lost, like, the next 12 the following year.
Yeah, they were
I think they lost 26 consecutive NFL football games. And I tell you what, though, they might have been the worst team maybe in the history of sports. They might have the coolest uniform ever in the history of sports.
Oh, the creamsicle pirate. I love it.
Bring them back.
I agree. I don't want Brady to succeed with Tampa Bay because they had Steve DeBerg and Williams and all the old guys there. Like, that's the thing. I like Tampa
Bay. The Buccaneers are winning the Super Bowl. Yeah. They can't be stopped. Now Gronk is there now, too. Really upsets me. I was all on the Buccaneer bandwagon.
Me too.
The Bucs this year, they're going to be a sleeper. I wanted them to keep Jameis Winston, though.
So
they would have been a sleeper, and they would have won 10 games this year. Now you're going to have a target on your back. And I don't know. I don't know if you're going to win 10 games. People are just assuming, everything's going to fall into place. We'll see. Game time decisions continue. We'll wrap it up on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We've got a couple of minutes left here. We just brought up the worst ATS records in the history of the league. I'm actually surprised, though, that someone like only covered once or something like that. So 1976, the Buccaneers. The 1980, we talked about the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers went 2-10-2 against the spread. The 1980 Pittsburgh Steelers, 3-13.
Oh yeah,
that was after the end of the dynasty. 3-13. This was the good old days. I like these days.
Me too.
1981, the New England Patriots were 3-13.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Dick McPherson, your team sucks.
Yeah. Remember in the old days? That was when the commercial. I like the team so much, I bought them.
Yeah,
remember the guy with the shaver?
Yeah, Remington, Victor Kiam. My razor's so good, I decided to buy the team.
His style is the thing. Like, he had the razor. And it's crazy it's called Gillette after. I don't know what it was with razors in this stadium. Because they have no correlation, but that's it. The Kiam guy, he bought Remington.
Remington.
Remember, and he was shaving in a commercial, and he goes, I like Remington so much, I bought the company.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a rich old guy with white hair. I bought the company. And then there was a thing. I liked the team so much, I bought the team. And they were terrible.
John Stevens was, I felt sorry for him. Good running back on a bad team.
The most famous thing the Patriots were known for in the old days was they had a guy that was in jail that got out on the weekend, probation, working at the stadium, and they plowed the snow. They cleared like a stretch so they could kick a field goal.
Yeah.
That was like the biggest thing in Patriots history. The Ravens in 2007, 3-13 against the spread. 2011 Rams, 3-13 against the spread. 2012 Eagles, 3-13 against the spread. 2014.
They had a bad stretch in there.
Bengals, 3-12. Colts, 3-12-1. Raiders, 3-12-1. Yeah, the Cowboys in 1997.
They were horrible.
3-12-1.
Yeah.
Wow. They went 6-10 in Barry Switzer's last year. I don't even recall that they were that bad. Yeah, they went 6-10, 3-12-1. You know why they were 6-10 or 3-12-1 against the spread? Because they were the Cowboys. Therefore, they were hyped and they were laying points too much. So we will have sports back, guys. There's a lot of details to be worked out in baseball, but we're pretty optimistic about the NBA. There's a push right now to get the players back into the practice facilities. We talked about it earlier in the program. The fact that the NBA has been pretty quiet for the last 5-6 days leads me to believe they're actually working on things. And there's not really a resistance, actually, from the players. It was just sort of, how are we doing this? Give us the plan, and we'll show up and do it. There's logistics to work out. We'll talk NASCAR, the match, and more. Other than that, you're on your own. We'll see you Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Moro Casino, America.
like a social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.